WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me again, as always, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, let's talk a little bit about the football game. I think one thing that you can gather is this game kind of epitomizes the dichotomy that exists amongst the ND faithful. And that would be that there's a certain group that's pretty much happy with any kind of win. I mean, a win is a win, and you gotta take it for what it is. And then you get another group that isn't so happy with the way you win. And certainly this is that kind of game that brings this out. Where do you fall on that line?
I'm definitely in the first group, and the second group needs to get a freaking clue about what's going on here. Because as my, I think some of the most intelligent and thoughtful writing about this team and this program every week is from Pete Sampson, and full disclosure, he's a friend and our dogs hang out together. But I mean, he's right. What's the alternative? The alternative is they lose to BC and Charlie is on the rocks and another good recruiting year is going by the wayside possibly, and there's turmoil and doubt. And listen, each week is a battle and I want them to win. I don't care how they do it, because I think it's much worse for the long-term health of the program if they are figuring out ways to lose these games as opposed to win them. And yeah, they're low on style points, but I think when you add the fact that they're coming off a pretty tough game and a pretty tough loss, and they're playing a team that always plays hard and always has their number, at least in the recent past. I mean, I'm definitely in the former camp that if they just keep finding a way to win and keep playing hard, they will improve, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And until I see evidence that the program is headed in the wrong direction, kind of incontrovertible evidence, I think people who are disappointed with the way they win, yeah, of course they could always improve, and of course there's things that that we should be bitching about and are right to be upset about. But what's the alternative? I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, I think I don't. Right, I don't know that it's so much that people, at least defending that side of the camp, and I happen to fall in the same camp as you. I think that from their side, they're saying, look, it's just, it's a barely win, and it's hanging on, and it's just not putting people away like we should.
Well, these are all people who, and I understand where they're coming from, because I said this on Saturday. Holt's era, 20-16 with the ball, it's 5, 7, 8 yards a carry, touchdown, step on their throat, game over. This is just where this program is not there yet. This is a barely top 25 team. If they take care of business the next 2 weeks, they will possibly be a top 20 team. If they upset Pitt, and provided Pitt doesn't lose 2 weeks from now, they will be an underdog when they go on the road to Pitt, and rightfully so. They possibly will be a top 15 team. And if they close out Stanford, in other words, winning the rest of their games in their schedule, they will be a BCS team. But all those are ifs and big ifs, you know, so they are what they are. I think people who are kind of like, you know, I understand Notre Dame fans living the dream, but this is not, you know, 1987 or 88 or 92 or 93, and not even close.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think people forget is this definitely would be a different football team with Michael Floyd there. And I think that what you saw Saturday was BC doubling up on Golden Tate. Tate still had a great game, but they clearly were doubling up on him. And the one time they did blitz, he scored on him. So, you know, I think that people seem to forget that, hey, look, if you put all the pieces in play that Weiss had going into this year, maybe it is a little bit different. I mean, who knows what would happen if Floyd didn't get hurt at the end of the Michigan game. Who knows if Notre Dame pulls out the win against USC with Floyd in the game. I mean, he's a big, huge loss. As good as Golden Tate is, and I'm a Golden Tate fan, I hate to break the news. I think Michael Floyd's a better wide receiver than he is. And it just goes to show how potent that offense can be with both those guys on the field. That's clearly one angle of it. The other, and I thought Weiss kind of got a little ticked, and I don't blame him. You know, everybody wants to knock the defense. It really wasn't that bad. Yeah, there's some glaring things that we need to fix, but, I mean, who would have thought that we would have held them to 70 yards rushing for the entire game? And they completely dominated the run game from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, but now, you know, they were a pretty shaky offensive team. I mean, they basically had one good week of offense this year. You know, they torched North Carolina State in a statement game, you know, against their former coach, who's a total, you know what. And they, you know, so they went out there and ripped them, and everything clicked for them that week, and North Carolina State kind of gave up after, you know, a quarter and a half. But I mean, I still think that this was a subpar offensive football team that we played on Saturday. So, yeah, the defense made the plays in terms of turnovers, but they also gave up some big yardage, especially on third down to, I think, you know, I don't care if he's 25 years old. He's another freshman quarterback.
Yeah, it was. And it seems to be that we keep giving up career days, the quarterbacks that play in Notre Dame Stadium. I don't know why that's the case, but you know, it's hard to sit here and say that they're that bad of a football team. I mean, they did beat Florida State. They got spanked by Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech. They did get spanked by Clemson at Clemson. Northeastern 54-0, Kent State 34-7. So, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, all I'm saying is that you can't sit here and find tremendous fault with a defensive club that gave up 16 points, only 70 yards. Yeah, the big problems are third down conversions and just, you know, unbelievable throws that kid made. And he did make some unbelievable throws. I mean, some of those were right on the button with nowhere to be other than right on the button. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, they had some huge takeaways. I mean, they had a great takeaway inside the 5-yard line, and that's what you want to see from an aggressive defense. I mean, they kind of made their plays on their side of the ball as well, including the interceptions and so forth. So,
I don't have a problem with the attitude on defense. I don't have a problem with the effort. I just think that they get caught out of position way too often, and I still think that their tackling is below average. I mean, football is offense, defense, and special teams. I think as an offensive team, we're very good. I think, and balanced, and the best offense we've had in easily 3 years. On special teams, we've improved mostly because we have a kicker who doesn't miss, which is the first time we've basically had that in the Holtz era. I mean, in the Weiss era. Defense, we're still, you know, bottom quartile if you look at, you know, Division One, and that's where we belong because, you know, sure, at the beginning of the year, you know, we had a couple decent outings, but you're not a good defensive football team if you just because you stop the run. There's a whole different set of plays called pass plays, and if you can't stop any of those, you know, you're going to get scored on. So, but I think that there are signs that they can play better on defense. We will see if they can put together a complete game before the end of the year. I mean, I think that's what is in our minds because we have this standard from Notre Dame football 10, 15 years ago where we would see 4, 5, 6 complete games a year. You know, complete games where the special teams were flawless and we had a return for a touchdown or a long return. The defense was stout and the offense scored 30 to 40 points. You know, those are complete football games against the Purdues and the Michigan States and the Pittsburghs and the Boston Colleges, okay, which I kind of put in the category of that second-tier kind of quality opponent, not a big game, but not a pushover. You know, they're good football schools. They have some tradition. They get some pretty good players, but they're still teams, you know, that we should beat. But we have not, you know, we have not played a complete game, and we will see if we have one before the end of the year. I think it is possible, and I think we'll know it when we see it. But, you know, we haven't seen it yet. And for the program to take that next step, those complete games have to come against those teams, the calibers of the Purdues, the Michigan States, the Boston Colleges.
Yeah, and I do think that there's definitely some opportunity for room for improvement, because if they can do that, if you know, basically our safeties make better breaks on the ball, and all of a sudden we start seeing a little success out of those guys, it could turn the corner for us a bit, or at least minimize these long third down conversions that we keep seeming to unbelievably give up. But I do think that at times they also play and rise above and meet the occasion, and they're doing that, and that you got to hope to continues. I mean, enough said about the heart of this football team. They clearly have it, and these guys have a will and a way to win football games in the fourth quarter, and they've done it time and time again. And in both occasions that they fell short, it wasn't because of lack of effort. So they're clearly there. Let's talk a little bit about the spin on the Heisman, because I don't know about you, but there clearly are comments coming out almost to the effect that there's no way we can give it to Jimmy Clausen if he's the last guy standing. It's going to have to go to some defensive lineman from Nebraska or Ingram, the running back from Alabama. I mean, I don't know what Clausen needs to do, because he's having about as good a year as you could possibly have. He's only thrown two picks, and both of those picks, you could argue, were the receiver's fault. One of them was Armando Allen letting the ball go right through his hands, and the other one was a misread on Shaq Evans, that he just broke off and ran the wrong route. So you really can't argue with the kind of season that Clausen's having. And this whole idea that, well, we haven't won enough football games for him to be considered is just, it's making me sick listening to half these guys.
Yeah, can I be honest with you, Mike? Like, I probably spend an unhealthy, inordinate amount of time during the course of a week thinking about Notre Dame football and replaying things in my mind. And I have to be honest with you, I think about the Heisman Trophy only when you bring it up.
Well, it's only because I listen to that kind of stuff.
I mean, I don't care about the Heisman.
I totally agree with you about not caring about it and stuff. And the only reason I bring it up is because of these comments that are coming from these guys. I mean, what is this stuff?
Yeah,
I'm not saying praise the kid and hand him the Heisman right now, but these idiotic comments about dismissing him because he's just not there. I mean, you can't say that he's leading the nation in pass efficiency.
Yeah. There will be people who will say that just because, you know, because it's a Notre Dame player. There will be people who say that. Listen, you know, half of these things are issues created by, you know, people who, you know, are on the radio or on blogosphere or on TV. Just, I mean, look, you know, it's like the whole Brett Favre thing all over again. I mean, who cares? Is he going to play? Is he not? I mean, you know, but they will make it into a 15-day story just because, you know, there's five different ESPN channels, you know, and, you know, each major metropolitan area has four different, you know, sports talk shows. They got to talk about something, and Notre Dame sells papers. It always has. It's the same thing if, you know, some guy on the Yankees, dog bites, or comes home, you know, with a squirrel in its mouth or something like that. That's going to be on the New York Post back page for 2 days in a row. I mean, it's because it's Notre Dame, because it's the Yankees, because it's the Dallas Cowboys. That is whatever the news is. It's going to get some airtime. But I mean, I don't listen. You know, the Heisman voting will take care of itself. You know, I hope Jimmy doesn't win the Heisman, because that'll give us a better chance of getting him back next year, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, but I really don't even think about the Heisman.
Yeah, it's early. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's early, but like I say, the only reason I'm bringing it up is just because of the pundits and the comments coming from these guys and the reasonings that they give behind the comments that they make. That's the kind of stuff that just bugs me. Granted, I think that this early in the season, it's too soon to be talking about it, but clearly what you do see is this media fascination with teams like Florida, teams like USC, who, by the way, you know, jumps ahead of Cincinnati. And again, it's just like you look at situations like that, I really could care less. But, I mean, how would you like to be Cincinnati in this situation where you're dominating every game that you're in? You got USC that has squeaked by us, who supposedly, you know, wasn't a top 25 team. And then same thing with Oregon State, who I don't think is ranked now in the top 25. Right. They lose to Washington, who's not in the top 25. And yet they're the heir apparent of the team to take in to the national championship game if Florida or Alabama loses before, you know, the end of the season. It's that kind of stuff where the media bias just comes out.
Right. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm sure you and I agree with in terms of issues. I mean, I don't think there should be any polls, period, until like week 5 or 6. I mean, it makes no sense. Like, preseason polls skew the polls for the first 4 or 5. I mean, it takes a long time for those polls to hash out. And, you know, nobody really knows, you know, how good a team is going to be. I mean, I hate preseason polls, and I don't think there should be any polls until week 5 or 6. And then, of course, there's no playoff system. So, you know, the whole thing is they're going to angle to get the big guys, you know, positioned so that they will have a better chance of, you know, taking up those big, you know, kind of TV revenue bowl spots.
But, you know, the interesting thing is I think that is what really plays into the minds of, you know, what I was saying earlier with the dichotomy of Notre Dame fans. These fans that are expecting big wins and style points and all that, it's all driven by stuff like that. It's all driven by this whole media perception and this whole, you know, let's be the darling of the college football world, and they forget that every game is a football game. I mean, it's a knockdown, drag-out fight, and there's not a whole lot of difference when it's all said and done between, you know, the top two teams in college football, and then the rest of them. The rest of them are all in the same boat, and the top two tiers, which have that much talent, kind of separate themselves. But then again, on any given Saturday, anything can happen. But, you know, I think people need to step back and just look at the fact that, hey, this is a very difficult stretch for Notre Dame to come off of the season they did last year, to kind of play with the heart that they're playing with, and they're winning football games. They end up winning at the end.
Right, and Notre Dame fans better get used to it because, you know, the 2010 schedule has just been finalized, and it's not exactly, you know, in terms of the kind of the popular press and popular perception, it's not exactly murderer's row. You know, it's USC and Michigan and then the usual suspects, and then, you know, Tulsa and Western Michigan, you know? So it's not, there will be criticism next year about the strength of the schedule, just as there was at the beginning of this year. So we better just get used to the fact that all you can control is your own performance on the field. The schedule is a schedule. Play it, beat everybody, and you don't have to worry about it. So, you know, Notre Dame is enough of a draw that it will get a sweet bowl bid if they're not playing for the national championship, and will probably be given a shot to play for the national championship if they run the table, regardless of who else is undefeated or who else has one loss. I think that will play out over the next couple years if they're that good. If they're not, you know, they won't. But I think it's a wash when it comes to Notre Dame. There's enough forces working for them and enough forces working against them when it comes to media and bias and prejudice and all that kind of stuff. It's a lousy system. There should be a playoff. But even though there isn't, I don't think we really have anything to worry about. Let's take care of dominating on the field again. I think the rest will take care of itself after that.
Yeah. The only argument I might have against that is I don't ever think there'll be an opportunity for a one-loss Notre Dame team to ever win a national championship, just because they'll never get enough points from the press to be able to get into that final slot. But hopefully I'll be proven wrong on that. Let's hope that we can roll this tape back to the next time that happens.
Yeah, partly that makes sense to me, because Notre Dame's only going to have, at least when I look at the schedule next year, you know, and this year, and maybe the year after that, a one-loss Notre Dame team is going to lose to, you know, one of only the two teams of, you know, top 10 caliber on their schedule, or top 15 caliber on their schedule, most likely. Whereas if you have a Florida or an Oklahoma or a USC, and they have one loss, it's going to be more likely that their one loss is going to be to another top 5 team, and they'll have also beaten a handful of top 10 teams. That's just the way, you know,
I think it's also the media bias. I mean, you look at what is the probability that Notre Dame, like Nebraska, could lose by 20 points the final game of the season and then end up in the national championship game. It just isn't going to happen, and the reason is because of this this bias that Notre Dame creates, which is you either love them or you hate them. It's one or the other. And therefore, the guys that don't fall in that realm benefit from that. You know, Nebraska kind of became a media darling, and so that's why they get to play in the national championship game. I mean, it's Florida State losing to us in 93, and they only drop one spot for the first time in history. You know, that's the kind of stuff that happens when you're on that side of the coin, and unfortunately for us, you know, that's just not the way it is. But we'll leave it there. Well, we can't solve that one tonight, unfortunately.
Boy, I'd be willing to go back and try and solve 93, though. That would be
we'll save.
Talk to you about
for the show. All right, we'll wrap it up from there. We'll be back to preview what is a unique situation in a home game for Notre Dame out in San Antonio Saturday night. That should be interesting. Hopefully that'll be one of the only games this year that we might actually breathe in the fourth quarter for once.
I hope so. Jeez,
you would hope so, yeah. Okay, thanks for listening. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.